You know, you may be seated, feeling the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the most awesome feeling in the world, to know that Jesus is here today. He's touching our hearts. He's touching our lives. And that makes all the difference in the world.
Amen.
Amen. The title of my sermon today is Get Out of the Boat. My text is from Matthew 14. Does this sound familiar? Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33. Matthew 14, 22 through 33. This is beginning with the next verse after the scripture that I used last Sunday. Verse 22 of chapter 14. Immediately he, referring to Jesus, made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he, Jesus, came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on the water and he came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In reading the Bible, to me, there's no other disciple that stands out like Peter. Peter's life was like a roller coaster. It was up here, down there, all around. And it was just, I think we would refer to it as not being too stable. But on occasion, Peter stands out as a man of faith, a man of commitment, who understands the situations that he faces. He was a man that, at that point in time, he felt like he was in control. And then there are those times that he was impetuous, he was faithless, and just scared to death. Does this sound familiar? We all have those times in our life. The events in our scripture today take place immediately following the miracle that I talked about last Sunday of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. You know, it's amazing how that our environment can change from one of celebration and elation to a situation of crisis and fear and doubt. The peaks of joy fall into the valley of fear and even despair. So we're like a roller coaster. We're up today, down today, up tomorrow, down the next day. We're not any different than Peter was. We like to think that we are. And as long as we feel like we're in control, then everything's great. Jesus had insisted that the disciples leave immediately by boat so that he could go up in the mountain by himself and pray. He needed to be alone. He needed that time to talk to his Heavenly Father. I want us to look at three things that Peter and the disciples faced that day when they were out on the water. First, they were in big trouble. There was a storm that was threatening their lives. They were afraid. They had gone very quickly from celebration with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to a major crisis. If you'll notice your bulletin, there's a picture in your bulletin that shows the disciples in a boat with a very small sail. If you know anything about sailing, you know that if your boat's headed into the wind, a small sail is not much good. Verse 24 says that the wind was against them. They didn't have an outboard motor. They didn't have an inboard motor. I imagine they would have been grateful for a trolling motor at this point in time, but they didn't have that either. Mark 6:48 tells us that they were straining at the oars most of the night, just trying to keep their boat afloat and headed into the winds, into the waves, so that it wouldn't capsize. And all of this rowing, all of this work, they had traveled only about 3 miles. And several of these guys were fishermen by trade. So I'm sure they had encountered storms out there on the water before. But even though Peter was a fisherman, he was afraid. And they were all feeling quite unnerved by this time. I recall not too long after Daniel and I got married, we bought a little 14-foot fishing boat. It wasn't no luxurious bass boat by any stretch of the imagination, but we have caught hundreds of fish on that little boat. But we took this little boat up on Lake Seminole fishing, and a storm came up out of nowhere, I mean quickly. And Daniel had that little 20-horsepower Mercury motor going wide open. And we were sitting still, folks. We were not moving. I was scared to death. And it was just like the roller coaster. We were going up and down, and I was beginning to turn green. I was sick, and I was more scared than I was sick. That day up on Lake Seminole, I promised God all kind of things. If he would just help me to get my feet back on dry, solid ground. Because you see, this preacher can't swim. And I wasn't like Jesus and I wasn't like Peter. I couldn't walk on the water. So I was at the mercy of God, the mercy of Daniel, the mercy of anybody that would help me get back to dry land. But we see the disciples in our study today, sometime between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. You know that's way too early to be up, much less out on the middle of a lake in a storm. It's dark, it's stormy, and they are doing everything in, notice I'm saying, their power to stay afloat. And suddenly, out of nowhere, Jesus appears. He's walking on the water. Uh-oh, now they have a twofold crisis. It was bad enough when it was just storming. The seas was rough, but now they are seeing a ghost. They are scared to death for sure. And they cry out in fear. There was no reason that they should even expect Jesus to come walking to them on the water. He was supposed to be off up yonder in a mountain somewhere praying. They wasn't expecting Jesus to come to their rescue. So the first thing that Peter feels that day was fear. The second thing that he experiences is doubt. Peter makes a request to Jesus. It's a request and it's also a challenge. Peter says, Lord, if it is you, let me come to you on the water. And what does Jesus say? He says, come on. Now, what did Peter have to do to go to Jesus? He had to get out of the boat. He had to get out of the boat. So even though we see Peter, he quickly takes his eyes off of Jesus and he starts to sink, he did have enough faith to step out of the boat. And that's all Jesus wants us to do today, folks. He wants us to take that step toward him. He wants us to step out of the boat. He doesn't want us to be in control. He wants us to be letting him take control of our life. So suddenly Peter realizes that he's no longer in control. And he doubted. And he took his eyes off of Jesus. He looked away just for a second. But it took that second for him to begin to sink. But what does Jesus do? Immediately, the scripture says, that Jesus reached out and grabbed him by the hand. You know, even though we may be in a relationship with Jesus Christ today, our vision is often clouded by our environment or the circumstances in our life. Just like Peter, we see the problems that's all around us and not the problem solver. Jesus Christ that walked on the water is the one that solves our problems if we will only allow him to today. There was a third thing that happened to Peter that day. Peter suddenly had a major increase in his faith. Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught Peter and he lifted him up. Because of this experience, Peter got what he asked for. He wanted to be with Jesus on the water. I saw a sign recently that read something to this effect that God doesn't lead us to a situation unless he will lead us through the situation. We forget that Jesus is with us on the water and in the water. So whatever our circumstances is, brother, had you followed through that ice over lake, Jesus would have been there. It doesn't matter about the situation that we face. If we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, he will be there. Peter didn't bargain to be baptized. He didn't bargain to be dunked in the water and to start sinking. But a little water never hurt anybody. It would have hurt me that day up on Lake Seminole. It would have hurt me really bad. We don't expect to be drowned in the crisis in our life. But we do expect to have, you know, a little sprinkle of crisis here and there. But Jesus is trying to tell us today that he is with us in whatever situation that we may face. Why did Peter sink? What was happening? What was going on? Peter had suddenly gotten out of his comfort zone. You know, we don't mind doing things as long as it's around the house, in our local church, in our neighborhood. We're comfortable. But when we have to get out of our comfort zone, when we have to step out of the boat and into the water and do something different, something out of the ordinary, then we begin to panic and we wonder, well, what's happening here? And then we start to sink. We're very uncomfortable. But you have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to take that first step toward Jesus Christ. And that's all it takes, is that one step. If Peter hadn't swung his leg over the side of that boat and stepped down on that water, what would have happened? His faith would not have increased. He would not have walked on the water because he didn't get out of the boat. Then Peter found himself in the hands of Jesus. What did we say last week about it depending on whose hands we're in? Those five loaves and those two fishes was just five loaves and two fishes until they wound up in the hands of Jesus Christ. And then they became a major fish fry. It was a major feast that fed 5,000 men, not counting all the women and children. So, depending on whose hand we put our crisis situations in determines the outcome. Peter experienced fear in the storm, then doubt when he took his eyes off of Jesus. Then he was rescued in the middle of that fear. In Genesis, the 37th chapter, Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt. He was manually removed from the boat for his comfort zone. But God was with him. Jesus will rescue you today. He will be that lighthouse that the praise team was singing about a while ago. In Romans 10, tells us that God wants us all to be saved. There are two reasons that he wants us to be saved. He wants us to get out of the boat or out of our comfort zone. Reason number one is that if you are not already saved, if you have not already accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, then you need to step out of that boat today. You need to accept him as your personal Savior. He will reach down and he'll take your hand, just like he did Peter. And he'll lift you up and he'll plant your feet on that solid rock. Jesus will become your best friend. He will become your personal lighthouse. He will become your personal lifeguard. In Romans 10, verses 9 through 12, tells us exactly what we need to do in order for Jesus to become our lifeguard and our lighthouse and our personal Savior. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's not a doubt about it. It's not something that may happen. It is a sure thing. If you call on the name of Jesus Christ, you will be saved. When we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are commissioned to tell others about him. Do other people around you see the light of Jesus shining through your life? When we allow Jesus to live in us and we receive the light of his love, people around us will know it. Reason number two, Jesus wants you to get out of the boat is for those who are already saved. Jesus has given you a commission to go into the highways and hedges and to compel others to come and accept Jesus as their Savior. Get out of the boat. Go into the highways and hedges and compel, urge, beg, plead, tell people that they need to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because life is too short. Eternity is too long for us to make a mistake and not accept Jesus Christ. You can only do that today if you step out of the boat and accept Jesus as your Savior. And go tell others of his love. Paul's telling the Romans and even us today that though our faith may become weak, and we're afraid of drowning, Jesus is there with his hand stretched out to us. I encourage you today, every one of you, I encourage myself, because this sermon is for me too, to get out of my comfort zone, to step out of the boat, get on out of the boat, and help lead others to Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, you're so good. You're so merciful, so kind and loving. And you're always there, Father, when we call out to you to reach down with that hand of love and lift us up out of the waters and the crisis situations that we may be facing in our life. Father, we praise you for this. We love you. We ask you, Father, that you would forgive us of our sins, give us the courage and the gumption to get up and to step out of the boat and to work for you and to live the life that you would have us to live. Help us, Lord, that we would see souls saved, brought into relationship with you, so that we will have sheaves to lay at your feet. Father, help us to feel this burden today, that lives will be changed and blessed because of your grace. Amen.
Let's stand. Turn to number three.